All right, welcome to Calvary Chapel and Happy New Year. So good to see you guys. Glad you're here and excited about tonight. It's going to be a great night. By the way, you kids are doing the skating thing. It is a roller derby, so bring your pads. No, it's not. It is not a roller derby. I have to make that clear because sometimes I joke and people go, it's really a roller derby, honey. We don't have pads. But anyway, so glad to see you guys tonight, excited about tonight. And again, on a more serious note, as we get started, you guys, of course, heard about what happened in New Orleans, the terrorist attack there in New Orleans, and where they had last night at something 1 in the morning, or either 1 or 3 in the morning, a truck plowed into some people, and there's 15 dead so far, quite a few others that are injured. It was a terrorist and a jihad-type attack, if you will. And then at the same time, something happened there in Nevada in front of one of the Trump buildings there. Had one of Elon's cars. Somebody put a bomb in it, I guess, or something. I better be careful on that. It may have just blown up, but it blew up right in front of a Trump tower. So it looks like, and they're investigating. I read the headlines right before I got out here. They're investigating it as a possible terrorist attack as well. So we'll see what's going to happen on that one. The other one they said for sure is a terrorist attack. They did see... Three other people, I guess, maybe four other people earlier. They went back and looked at videos and saw some other people planting bombs around there where he drove the truck in. The good thing, they said the bombs didn't go off. Apparently, they found them all, and that's why they canceled the ball game tonight. Georgia and Notre Dame has been canceled till tomorrow because of this. They're worried about just more. They hadn't caught those other terrorists yet. So we're going to pray about that. I want to do that before we got in the Word. But again, I think, this is where, again... we need to be prepared. We may have some more interesting things because of how we've been on our borders over the last few years. We've let a lot of people in here that don't belong. And there may be some consequences on that, but we need to be praying. And what I'm praying for is that God will use this to drive us to Him as a nation and to drive people to Him. We need to be praying for those families and for those that were injured and all that. And so I want to start this evening out before we get into what we're going to do, and I'll explain what we're going to do. But let's pray first for all those families and all that got affected by that. Father, we do pray right now for the families of those who, again, lost loved ones there in New Orleans in this terrible terrorist attack. Lord, I think that maybe even there was one killed in Nevada from this other explosion. Don't know the details on that yet, but either way, kind of a hard way to start the new year. But I pray, God, for those families that you would use this to drive them to you, God. If these families don't know you, let them come to know you through this. They're going to need you more than ever. And so I pray that you would use this to drive them to you, God. Your word says you make beauty from ashes. And I pray about all those that are injured right now, God. I pray there's no more loss of life. I pray that those that are injured will recover. And again, you'll use this to drive them to you as well, God. We see these tragedies and it breaks our heart. But God, I see them also, and you see them as opportunities to bring people into the kingdom. And so use it for your glory. And I pray they'd catch these other, Lord, these three men and this other woman they saw planting these devices. I pray they would catch them. And Lord, again, just watch over our nation. Have mercy on us, God. We have, we've been a very foolish nation. And Lord, we need to repent. And God, we ask you to forgive us. And I say we, including the church, God, myself, all of us, Lord, we have our own sin issues that we have to deal with. And we can point at everyone, Lord, but let us start with ourselves tonight as we look at rebuilding our personal altars and try, and Lord, beginning the new year walking in holiness with you as we rededicate to you tonight. And I just, again, pray you pour out your spirit, God, as we look at some prophetic things to be looking for in the upcoming year. And then, Lord, again, as we have communion, remembering your body and your blood, Lord, may this be the year that you come back to get your church. What a wonderful day that's going to be, Lord. Let it be now. And so we love you, Lord, and we ask now you pour out your spirit and you would teach us and Lord, just again, minister tonight what you have planned for us this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, tonight, prophecy update. It's going to be a short prophecy update, not really a Bible study, not even going to really go to passages of Scripture because I wanted to kind of go quick bullet point things and point some things out. I'll give you the Scripture, what they are, not necessarily where they are. You have to look it up on your own, but I'll tell you what relates to it because I didn't want to necessarily get into a prophetic Bible study tonight, just kind of some bullet points of things to be watching for. And why do I do this? Again, this is so that the body of Christ, we know what to be watching for so when these things happen, we don't freak out. You understand prophecy? I don't do prophecy for sensationalism. I don't do prophecy just because it's a lot of fun. It is fun to see the future. No, that. One of the main reasons that I think that God's put prophecy in my heart is because it warns the body of Christ in what's to come so that when you see these things, you're not afraid. God doesn't want his flock to be afraid. The world's afraid. They're going to walk in fear. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to walk in confidence. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us, that is the believer, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we need to have that going into the new year. And then things are only going to get more and more complicated, I'll put it that way, as we get toward the return of the Lord. He warned us in Matthew 24, things were going to get more and more complicated. That is, things are going to get worse and worse. And yet when you say that, it's not to create fear. Oh, no, things are going to get worse. The more you understand that the Lord is in control and he told us everything that's going to happen in advance, the more confidence that you have. And actually, you can find yourself having joy, not about the incidents that take place, but joy in the sense of recognizing that the Lord is coming back very soon. Because the things that he said were going to be taking place are taking place. And so I've entitled tonight, what to be aware of and what to watch for in 2025. Now, nobody knows exactly, but again, some of the things that we're to be watching for, he did tell us would be increasing, and so we're going to see more of these kind of contractions taking place. And one of the first things I want to point out is you're going to see an increasing hatred of the Jews. And I know we're already seeing that. We've talked about it. I don't need to spend a lot of time on that. But again, the Lord said in Matthew, he said that everyone's going to turn against you. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. And again, the whole world's going to turn against the Jewish people. And so you're going to see that happen. I think that over the next 4 years, the Jews have a friend in the White House. And America still at this point is at least perceived as the most powerful nation in the world. And so I think you're going to see it kind of held at bay to some degree. But there's going to be great hatred toward the Jewish people. And you're watching that happen across the board. Sadly, and I don't know if I'd call it hatred within the church, but an ignorance even within the church about how we're supposed to be honoring the Jewish people and the nation of Israel because of the promises that God has made to them. So don't be surprised if you see more and more things against Israel, against the Jews, and it doesn't even have to make sense. It's simply oftentimes very senseless, the things that happen. It's just it's a spiritual thing, and this is where we as believers have to recognize these are spiritual things that are taking place. You can't put a logic to it. It's amazing. Sometimes you'll see people that hate Israel, and they don't even really know why. A lot of these people that march with the signs, they're marching in the streets. They don't even know why they're marching against Israel. They just know they don't like them. It's Satan moving in their heart, and they don't realize that. The Bible tells us in 1 John that, again, the entire world is under the sway of Satan. The believer's not, but the entire world is. And so he can move things the way he wants them. So I just want to, that's kind of a, I guess, a quick mention on that to be watching for, but also be watching for a greater falling away from true faith. And that is, you're going to see, again, more and more doctrines coming in the church. The Bible talks about in the last days, doctrines of demons coming in the church. Stick to the word of God. This would be my encouragement for you. First of all, on the first one, honor the Jews, honor the nation of Israel, honor the Lord. It's not about their righteousness. It's about God's promises. And the second thing is, honor the word of God and stand on it. Don't let anybody pull you away from the word of God, because you're going to see a greater and greater attack on the word of God, more and more deception taking place. And again, I think you're going to see more and more people falling away from at least traditional faith. The Bible talks about they'll be heaping up teachers with itching ears, but that means people will be gathering crowds in certain situations, but it won't be based on the word of God. So going into 2025, stay focused on the word of God. That's where our focus has to be. And that's going to come up in a minute with a couple more of these issues that we're going to talk about tonight, because again, there's going to be a lot of deception, I think, in the last days. Again, that's really my next point, is more demonic deception. It's interesting when you think about the world doesn't even oftentimes believe that demons are real, but Jesus said they're very real. He spoke with them, he rebuked them, and he said they're going to be bringing in teachings within the church and in the world in the last days, and there's going to be power backing it up. And some of them are going to seem very logical. They're going to be things that, again, we don't know what all those different avenues are going to be in that demonic deception, but there's going to be demonic deception. How do we as the church avoid that? Stay in the word of God. You're going to hear me say that over and over. This is God. We start the new year. We talk about New Year's resolutions. But what a great one to say. I'm going to be reading through the word of God and doing it through the year and sticking to the word of God. This is our only thing that holds us on course. Again, imagine it when you're in a storm and you have nowhere that you can see other than maybe a compass to show you direction, or the airplane that's in the whiteout and they can't see a thing for the clouds. Again, you've got to follow the instrument. The instrument that God has given us is the word of God, and that's what's going to keep us on as we see more and more demonic deception. I wrote a few of them down that we're seeing that are happening, and this is something to be watching for. You're going to see an attempt to replace Jesus to get ready for the Antichrist. You say, well, how in the world are you going to replace Jesus? Well, you already saw the Pope do it. When they did their nativity scene there at the Vatican, he had a Palestinian baby wrapped in a Palestinian thing that was out there in front of the Vatican, and again saying that Jesus was a Palestinian and all this kind of stuff. They're trying to redefine who Jesus is. Now, the amazing thing is that, of course, nobody would say that the Palestinians are the Jews. But again, you've got thousands of years of history that somehow you've got to overcome, that Jesus was a Jew and the Jewish people were the ones that were there and the Messiah was Jewish. So it's going to be hard to do. But again, you can already see it underway. They're trying to bring people in, the new generation that doesn't know any better, saying that Jesus is a Palestinian. I've even heard people say that Jesus was a Muslim. That's another thing. They're pushing these right now online and they're pushing to get the next generation. See, we can hear that and say, well, that's crazy. Nobody's going to believe that. Well, you're in the South. In the South, you know, that's going to hold out longer. But already in other parts of the country and around the world, there's people that believe that. Now, I want to give you a little bit of history real quick to make sure they're all on the same page, because you don't need to believe this just because your pastor said it. That's a big mistake. You need to believe it because you know it to be true based on the facts and the Word of God and history. And first of all, you need to understand that there was no such term as Palestinian until 135 AD or 100 years after Jesus. So get that in your mind. Nobody ever said Palestinian till 100 years after Jesus. Now, they may have said it prior to that many, many, many years before, because it means Philistine. And they were talking about the Philistine people. So when you read about the Philistines fighting the nation of Israel, that's where we get the word Palestine. It's just a different derivation of the word Philistine. But there are no Philistines around today, and we now can prove that genetically. They've all died out. There's none in the DNA pool at all of the ancient Philistines. But what happened was, Hadrian, who was the emperor in 135 AD, hated the Jewish people so much, and he hated the fact that they wouldn't worship him and they worshiped their God, that he said, I'm going to rename the whole land, and I'm going to rename it Philistine. This is the land of the Philistines now. It's no longer the land of the Jews. It's the land of the Philistines, and so they call it Palestinia or Palestine, or we say today Palestine. So to say that Jesus was a Palestinian, the word had never even been heard among the Jewish people and the Arab peoples until 100 years later. It was known of as a different people group called the Philistines, which died out long, long ago. So when you hear that kind of stuff, understand there weren't any Palestinians in the days of Jesus. So you need to know that. You need to know your history so that when you hear that, because that's starting to show up all over the internet and all around the world, and I see it as a demonic deception to get people away from who Jesus really was. He was a Jew. He is a Jew. And again, he was the savior of the Jewish people and of the world and all that come to him, Gentiles as well. Now, again, I see the attack coming in also on these things coming on and online saying Jesus was a Muslim. Guys, understand this. There were no Muslims until 600 AD. I think maybe more effectively 635 AD, somewhere around there. Don't quote me on that. It's not like this is on tape or anything. But it's somewhere around 600 AD. And so that means that about 100 or 500 and something years after Jesus was the first time that Muslims were ever even called a Muslim or existed. It was a new religion that was created. So to say that Jesus was a Muslim, there were no Muslims in Jesus' day. There were no Palestinians in Jesus' day. So this is all just demonic stuff that they're trying to change who Jesus is into something different. And again, they're even talking about now doing an AI Bible to rewrite the Bible, because now AI is so smart that we can find all the things and correct the Bible and make the Bible say what it's really supposed to say. That sounds logical and safe to me. How about you guys? Oh, my goodness. Now listen, so again, we know this, right? The new generation, what are they going to know? There's going to be major demonic deceptions. That's why it's so important for us to draw into the Word of God and draw into the Lord as we see these things taking place. So, again, don't buy into that stuff. Again, what's another thing to bring up, I think, which is going to be a demonic deception. I think right now it's probably simply government deceptions, but I think it's going to be used as a demonic deception, are UFOs. Now, again, we talked about the drones. I said I mentioned that. Nobody really knows what the drones are, but again, most of the experts say they believe it's probably some type of government military action. There's probably a government military action taking place. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know why they're doing it. But there's something going on. And again, it's interesting the silence they're letting kind of ride. You know, again, this can be used by the enemy to create fear. Maybe these are aliens, you know, whatever the case might be. And isn't it, we noticed last year, and again, really started in 23, but really kind of ramped up in 2024, if I remember correctly. Even our own Congress and Senate really pushing the fact that UFOs are real and aliens are real and we've got something and the American public needs to know. And they're having all these committee meetings and stuff. Again, we talked about it a while back, I think last year. It used to be that it was the people, you know, outside the government that would say this, and the government said, well, they're a bunch of nuts. Well, now the government is the one saying that there's aliens and UFOs. And here's something we need to know as believers. There are no aliens. There may be UFOs, But there are no aliens. How do I know that? It's biblically impossible for there to be anyone else but people in this universe. Now, you may not like that, but I'm just going to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. The Bible says that all have sinned. It's the word pos in the Greek. It means all-inclusive. That would be everyone in the universe if there was. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All right? And the only way that anyone can be saved is through Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus Christ died for the universe. Who did Jesus Christ die for? The world, singular. Not the worlds with an S. Not the universe. He died for the world. That means that if there were other beings on other planets, they're all condemned to hell and have no hope. How do I know that biblically? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which to me biblically means it's impossible for there to be beings on another planet. So then what are these things? Are some of these things real? I think so. I think some of them are probably government stuff we don't know about. I think some of them, whether it be drones or some of the things that we're seeing, you know, some of these pilots and these things that we've seen, I think some of them are demonic. You know, they had one a while back. I showed you guys a couple of years ago that they released that this fighter jet pilot was filming this thing turning. It looked like one of those, man, I never can remember the name of those things. When I was a kid, they had these little things. You'd hold this metal thing and this little round thing would go up and come back down. Do you remember those little things? Remember those little round thing? What's that called? Wheel of Fortune? No, what was that? Slinky. Not a slinky. That's the one that does that. Oh, all right. Well, anyway, I can't. It's a, door number two. I'm going for door number two. Thank you. You all convinced me. Door number two. It was this round thing, and it was turning, and it looked like there was a round thing here, and then when it turned, it looked like another round thing was here. And it was like, it was doing like this. I don't know if you guys saw that, right? That was interesting to me. I don't know what that was, but it is interesting that the Bible says that when they saw the cherubim, they appeared as a wheel within a wheel. Isn't that interesting? And I thought, wow, maybe God let a cherubim, just a demonic cherubim, visualize, you know, appear, and maybe we saw it and the guys are freaking out. There's going to be demonic deception. Here's my point. Some of it's going to be government that we don't know about. Some of it may be real. So if you see something that is supernatural and it's real and there's no way mankind did it and it's not government, that doesn't mean there's aliens. What it means is that there are demons. And they're deceiving mankind. And the Bible says there's going to be greater and greater demonic deception in the last days. Now, why do I tell you that? So you don't go chasing after little green men or this kind of stuff. You're getting sidetracked in this whole stuff. We have to stay focused on the Word of God. Stay focused on what God has called us to do. Don't be afraid there's an alien invasion, you know, and it's going to take place or whatever. There may even be some kind of manipulation that tries to happen in these kind of things where you hear that kind of stuff. But again, if it happens, it's going to be demonic. It's not going to be real. Don't be afraid. The next one I want you to be aware of and not to be afraid of is bird flu. Listen, it's on the horizon. Already there was great manipulation that took place, guys, with this whole COVID-19. Y'all know that. There was great manipulation. Okay, we're not going to get into all the argument about it one way or the other, but there was great manipulation that was done during that. Okay, we all know that by now. And the thing is, now the bird flu, they're already saying bird flu is going to come in. Everybody's got to be afraid. Go get a bird flu vaccine. Lockdown. Wear masks. Don't go out. They're already talking about lockdowns. They've gone to state of emergency in California because a chicken or something, you know, got sick. I don't know what happened. You ought to see his little mask. It was kind of... But guys, here's the bottom line. The first cases of bird flu showed up in America, I think, in 1924. Okay? There's never been one death. Let that sink in for a minute, because you're about to be scared by it. They're going to try to scare you here very soon with that. There's not been one death. Not one. Not in America. Now, there's some people lived in other countries that were very poor, had bad health care already, that have died. But in America, there's not been one death from bird flu. It's just like any other flu. It's like anything else. But I'm watching this build up. I'm watching this wave build up coming to 2025. I saw the same thing happen with the COVID-19. I didn't know where it was going, but I watched it building up going, something weird happened here. Now I'm watching the same build up, and it's going to be, oh, no, it's here. Everybody put a mask back on. By the way, with all the tests, they just showed that the mask actually made it worse. Have you seen all the studies? The masks made it worse because what the mask did was they held in all the germs, and people got sicker from that. The lockdowns, we know, were a disaster. They were a total disaster, not only putting our kids back for a generation, but again, just all the health concerns. The whole thing was done, just handled completely wrong. And if they ever go back down that road, that is something, guys, that we should not be a part of. Listen, do not live in fear. And I want to say this. Again, I think there's going to be some fear tactics coming in with that. Don't live in fear. And I'm going to speak for me. I would rather live, catch something, and die than wear a mask and be locked up in my house for the rest of my life. Is wearing a mask and being locked down, that's not life. You're already dead. You're already dead. As far as I'm concerned, that's death. Let me go live. And if I die, that's my choice. I died. The good news is I know where I'm going if I do die. Now, again, I'm not saying be stupid. All right, again, we know that. Look, if there's something that's truly dangerous, we take precaution. And, you know, again, when this whole thing happened last time, we know what you had to, they said the house was on fire, so we had to get out and kind of look and make sure. And then we said, well, the house isn't on fire. So we went back in the house. I think the same thing's going to happen. They're going to say, the house is on fire. Everybody's going to die. You got to go get your shot. Everybody do this, whatever the case might be. We now know that natural immunity was much better than anything that anybody took. I mean, guys, listen, don't be ignorant of the studies that are out there. Go do your homework. This is not something that is in a corner. This is not something some guy just saying it because he wants. There have been just hundreds of studies on all these things. Every bit of it was wrong, and every bit of it was a disaster. And the things you say, well, didn't we learn from that? Well, maybe some did. I don't know. But I'm going, I don't know that it's just about learning about it as much as it is manipulation. So get ready. We're talking about last day stuff, demonic manipulation, confusion, all these different kind of things. Be aware of that. I got to zip here because I'll give us plenty of time for communion. Also be watching for this formulation of the 10 kings, the 10 kingdoms coming together. Now, again, guys, there has to be a formulation of the 10 kingdoms coming together out of Daniel before the Antichrist can show up on the scene. Those are already in place, and then he shows up. And what do I mean by that? Just be watching for the world to be talking. I don't know if there'll be some event that'll happen, but be watching for something that's going to bring the world together, some type of formulation. You know, everybody kind of chuckled the other day when future President Trump said, okay, Canada should be the 51st state, and he was giving them a hard time, right, that kind of stuff. Listen, don't be surprised if you see Canada and Mexico and America all become one region. Not because of President Trump, because of the last days. And other countries grouping in regions, and you might see 10 regions coming together with leaders over those regions. Something's going to come together, and whether or not it's a world event like another pandemic type thing or whatever, I don't know. But just be watching for that. That's something else that's got to take place. Another thing is more wars and rumors of wars. In Matthew 24, he said you're going to see an increase in that. We've always had them, but you're going to see them in clusters and an increase. You see what's going on in the Middle East right now and all the wars and all the rumors about World War III. And now China comes out yesterday and said, Taiwan is ours. Yeah. Basically, they said, it's ours. We're going to take it. You can't stop us. So they're saying, we're going to go do it. That's a pretty big rumor because America is the one supposed to be defending Taiwan. So they basically said, we don't care. We're going to step right on top of you and go take Taiwan. And, of course, you have to have leadership that's willing to stand up against them and then say, is it worth the cost? So you're going to hear more of that kind of stuff. The Lord said, don't be afraid. See, this is why I'm telling you this, not to freak you out. I'm saying, don't be afraid. What he's saying is, I'm telling you this, I'm in control. I'm running all of it, and you're my kids. I love you. And I'm going to protect you, and I've got a plan for how all this is going to come together. Don't freak out. Stay calm. Stay relaxed. You're going to see this. Again, interesting, in Iran, people are always worried about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. I read this in the headline today. According to experts, Iran detonated an underground nuclear weapon this last October. You're not hearing that in the news, are you? It looks like Iran is now a nuclear nation. Now, that's pretty freaky. Again, I told you, you'd be encouraged by the time we're done tonight. The world's not going to be destroyed with nuclear activity because we're going to be here. By the time the rapture takes place, even after we're gone, there's going to be another 7 years where the whole Great Tribulation takes place. So that doesn't mean there couldn't be an individual nuclear device somewhere. They have smaller size nukes, larger size. But the world's not going to be destroyed with nuclear weapons. But now when you talk about people like Iran getting a nuclear weapon, listen, this to me is all the more reason that Jesus is about to come back. Think about it. Think about it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. Think about it. How do countries who win if they die, remember, if you get blown up, you go straight to heaven and have the virgins in heaven, remember? That's what they believe. You win if you die, and you now have a weapon that can do a lot of damage. How do you stop a country like that? We're going to kill you. We don't care. We're going to straight, you know, and go to have all the virgins and do all this kind of stuff. And again, my point is, God's not going to let anything happen other than he lets happen. So don't be afraid. I'm just saying that when you start to see these kinds of nations having weapons that can annihilate large populations, nations, then Jesus has to come back. What did the Bible say? The Bible says in Matthew 24 that if the Lord didn't intervene, that no flesh would be saved. That means at some point he's going to say, okay, enough. I'm going to stop this because I'm not going to let this take place. But I'm just saying, people say, well, yeah, the Lord's not coming back for a long, long time. Once you start seeing these kind of things happen, it can't be that long. Because he's going to have to intervene. Things are getting pretty serious. Again, interesting, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we talked about this. The Bible says that there's going to be hooks in the jaw that's going to turn Russia around and pull them into battle against Israel with Iran and Sudan and Libya and Turkey. It mentions those five specifically. And what's interesting about that is it says it will turn them around. Well, I shared this with you guys. Russia's been in Syria for a long time. They're there. There's nothing to turn them around to. They were there. They all just left, or most of them just left, because Syria just fell. All the battles going on now and all the different things that are happening. So they took off and left, and now for them to come back, they're going to have a hook in the jaw, be turned around and come back. They're now in the place to fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39, because they couldn't be turned around and brought back until now. Now that they've left, they can be turned around and brought back. You see what's happening? Again, I don't know when this is going to take place, but I'm saying the things are in order that need to be in order for this to happen. Now, it's interesting because, again, the headline today, notice this. It says, Russia deploys its forces to Al-Qaddam base in Libya. Remember one of the five countries that's going to join together with Russia to come against Israel? Why did they pick Libya? Because they read Ezekiel 38 and 39. I didn't know the Russians read the word like that, especially their military. Say, hey, it says here that we're supposed to attack from Sudan. So, why would they go there? Because God said they're going to align. Get this, another headline. This from In Focus in Politics. Russia's military presence is now in Sudan to boost their African strategy. So guess where Russia went? They went to Sudan and they went to Syria. Why? Because God said they would. And that they've now made military pacts with them. And you can read that all in Ezekiel 30 and 39. And they're all going to work together when the time is right and try to come in and destroy Israel. Here's the good news. They're all going to get, well, let me say that differently. It's not good news that anybody gets wiped out, I guess, unless they're, as my grandkid would say, bad guys. But they're going to be wiped out. Because they're coming against Israel, and God's going to intervene and protect the nation of Israel, supernatural. And it says they're going to come across the border. We don't know what's going to happen, but God's going to supernaturally annihilate and wipe out all those invading armies. And this is going to be kind of a conglomerate of all these, not only the Russians that are helping them, but all the Muslim nations that are going to be joining with Sudan and Libya and those that are in the area, bringing them in that hate Israel so much. Think about this. One of the big things that's holding back the Antichrist being able to unify the world in a one-world religion and everybody getting along are the Christians and the Muslims. If the Christians are gone in the rapture and a huge portion of the radical Muslims are gone in battle, it's time to move forward. Does everybody follow me? So you can see this thing kind of being laid out. There's going to be a massive amount of the radical Muslim population taken out in one fell swoop. That's going to take place. And then you're going to see the church being gone sometime right around there, either before or right after. And then you're going to see, again, this major battle. The world's going to freak out. And they're going to say, we need a leader. And the Antichrist is going to step on the scene. Now, how that's all going to happen and what order that's going to happen, I don't know for sure. We'll have to wait and see. Let me finish reading the rest of that article about Sudan and Russia. Listen to what it said. I wrote this down. Sudan and Russia, it says, and I quote, have reportedly agreed to establish a Russian Navy base near Port Sudan on the Red Sea. The West does not appear to have a response to this move. Yeah. So Russia is now, battling up and shoring up in Sudan and Libya. And the West is going, that didn't really affect us, so we're not going to worry about it. And, of course, some of them, of course, went back to Russia, and they're scattering out in different places. But, again, you can see God putting all the pieces together and in place that need to be there. Now, the last thing I want to cover, and then we need to get moving forward with communion, that I want you to be watching for, is this whole thing with Damascus. You know, Syria now has been taken over by all these rebel groups that were headed up primarily out of Turkey. Turkey putting together some rebel groups to overthrow the regime that was there. And now it's broken up into three different groups, two to three different categories. I think three different categories still. You've got the Kurds up north. A lot of believers up there. We need to be praying for them. And when I think of it, I pray for them. You ought to be praying for them as well. Huge population up there of Kurds. And they've got a decent group of Christians up there. And then, of course, you got the other battling groups that kind of hate each other, the Shias and the Sunnis and different groups that are just, they're kind of broken up in all kinds of different groups that are fighting within themselves. But what's happening is once they pushed out the leadership in Syria, the worst of the worst have now all come together and moved into Syria. I mean, it is, I don't, some of the things that are out there online, I don't encourage you to be involved. I don't go looking for it, but sometimes, you know, as you're doing news and doing all these things, which I do with prophecy, I'll see some of this stuff. Let me tell you something. The worst of the worst is being gathered right now in Damascus and in Syria. These people are brutal. They're not just killers and brutal. They're torturing people. And I won't go beyond that, but to say it's the kind of thing that nightmares are made out of that they're doing over there. It's demonic. It's absolutely demonic. But when I thought about that, one of the next things the Bible says is going to happen is the destruction of Damascus. And the Bible says in Isaiah 17:1, Damascus is going to be totally annihilated and will never be inhabited again. How do we know that that's still yet future? Because that's never happened. Damascus has been defeated lots of times over the centuries, but Damascus has never been annihilated to never be inhabited again. The Bible says in Isaiah 17, when this takes place, nobody will ever live there again. So whatever it is, if there is maybe a nuclear device that goes off somewhere, it may be there. We'll wait and see. But the bottom line is they're going to all be wiped out. And I started thinking, isn't it interesting that the worst of the worst are all now being gathered there in Damascus and in Syria? It's almost as if there's this gathering of the worst that God can deal with it when the time comes. Again, I don't know what the timing is of all this or when that's going to take place, but these are things you need to be watching for because you're going to be hearing about these in the news. The Bible talks about them, I just want to make sure that you guys are not afraid, that you're aware and you're not afraid, that we're right on target. It's like I love the way that, I forget which person was that said it, but I love the quote. It's like, look, things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place. They really are. They're falling into place. So you don't have to be scared. Look what's happening in the world. It's like, yeah, look what's happening in the world. Everything Jesus said would happen. And everything the Bible said would happen. Which shows my God is in control. And that my God's running the show. And that my God's going to be faithful to get me to the end of it and bring me into the kingdom one way or the other. Amen? That's the God we serve. So be encouraged by this. Don't be afraid. It's better we hear these things. Lord, why did you tell the Lord? We asked what's going to happen. Why did you tell us? He said, I tell you these things so you'll know them when they come to pass. You'll know that I told you. You know that I am he. You'll know that I'm in control. He wants us to know these things so that we can rest and trust in him. So, fellow believer, rest. Trust in the Lord. He's in control. And he's coming back to get us soon. Now this also means, as we wrap this up, we're one step closer to the rapture of the church. And so I don't know when it's going to be, but that's the next major prophetic event. Listen, it's going to be somewhere in there. It's either going to be the Russian-Iranian invasion. It's going to be Damascus. It's going to be the rapture. All these are kind of like you can move the cups around, you know, and pick one up and see which rock's under it. We don't know which one's coming first or what's going to happen. But the reality is we're right there at these things. And the Lord says this, you know, again, we may suffer persecution. These kind of things have happened throughout the centuries, but we'll never suffer God's wrath. And so before God begins his wrath, the church is going to be taken out of here. And so that's where our hope is. That's the blessed hope that we have that the Lord is coming for his bride. And so be encouraged. I think we're close to the return of the Lord. Now, the last thing I want to do before we pray and finish tonight, and then we're going to have communion, is because I want us to really get our hearts ready for communion. So I'm kind of, this kind of pre-communion sharing before we get into communion, because I'll end the service and then we'll have a communion service. But it's interesting to me that tonight's the last night of Hanukkah. This is day 8. You know what Hanukkah is? Hanukkah means dedicate. And Hanukkah really represents the rededication of the temple. What happened was, is that the temple was defiled. And when the temple got defiled, the Maccabean revolt, you've heard of that before, the Maccabean family, the Maccabean revolt, they put together an army and they went again, they fought against those that were defiling the temple. And when they took the temple back over, they went in and had to re-cleanse the temple. And what they did was the altar, they defiled the altar, they defiled the temple itself. So they tore the altar down and they moved all the stones into a different area. Again, even the stones were considered so holy, they didn't know what to do with them. They said, we'll let a prophet decide. We're just going to scoot them to someplace out of the way in the temple till later. But they built a brand new altar. And then they had after they finished the new altar, which was the place of sacrifice and worship and praise, then they had to go inside the temple and they had to cleanse the inside. Let's show the altar. Let's see a picture of the altar, idea of what the altar looked like. The altar was massive. That kind of gives you an idea what the altar was like. They took the whole thing down, destroyed it, and rebuilt another one like that so they could start redoing the sacrifices. This is why it took them 8 days. And again, they had to cleanse the temple, and according to history, they had one vial of oil that was supposed to last one day. It lasted all 8 days. God did a miracle. And so this is the miracle of Hanukkah. And so they, during this time, they couldn't, until all the altar was rebuilt, which took a while, and the temple was cleansed on the inside, the holy place, they had to keep the oil burning, and they said it burned the entire 8 days, but they couldn't do a sacrifice until they had it totally cleansed. So it took 8 days to get everything cleansed, and then they started offering sacrifices again and worship. Also, they had to cleanse the Holy of Holies. Now, here's a picture of the Holy, not Holy of Holies, the Holy Place. The Holy Place is the room outside of the Holy of Holies. And then the behind the curtain there would have been the Holy of Holies. This would be called the Holy Place. Now, they're not really placed where they would be in this picture. I looked forever trying to find a good picture of it. I found one good one, and it was like, you cannot use this. So here's a bad one they let us use, and you can see why. You can use this when nobody wants to. Okay, all right. But really the way it works is those are the three main elements that were in there. On the right, you have what's called the table of showbread. They would put 12 loaves of bread in there every week. They had fresh bread each week. And then not bread like we think of, loaves that were round, like looked like big tortilla type things, but thicker. And they represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And across from it was the menorah there. And that was called the light of the world. And it would light the room. And it represented God's light shining on the 12 tribes of Israel and God watching over the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you had, of course, the altar of incense, which is on the far left here. And that's where you would put a coal from the altar that was outside, and you'd sprinkle incense on it. And when the incense rose, it would fill the room with this plume of smoke that smelled great, according to historians. It was an amazingly wonderful smell. Not like a coughing smoke, but it was just, wow, that's great, because the whole temple area would smell like that. And it represented the prayers going up to God from the people as the priests would be in there praying. Okay, and actually when you walked in, the way it would look is, picture this in your mind, because that's wrong. You'd walk in, on your right would be the table of showbread. Straight in front of you would be the altar of incense, which is the one on the far left in that picture. And then to your left would be the menorah. Okay, so that's how it looked. Now, why do I tell you all this? Because they had to rebuild the altar and then cleanse the inside of the holy place in order to get back right with God after the temple had been defiled. What a great time for us to get our temple cleaned and undefiled before God starting into the new year on the last day of Hanukkah. Very symbolic. And that is, maybe it's time for some of us to rebuild an altar tonight. The altar is the place of worship. It's the place where you go. Now, we don't bring a sacrifice to it now other than a sacrifice of praise. Because Jesus is the sacrifice. That's been done. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But when we worshiped earlier, that was a sacrifice to God. And when we worship again in a minute, that's going to be a sacrifice. We're offering praise and worship. It's rebuilding an altar of worship and praise and sacrifice in our lives. Listen to me, fellow believer, are you offering God worship and praise and sacrifice? If you've not been doing that, what better time at the start of the new year 2025, heading into the last days and the last day of Hanukkah, which is what it represents, to rededicate our lives and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to get back to worship. I'm going to get back to praise. I'm going to get back to sacrifice for you, whatever that means. I'm going to devote my life to you. I'm going to build a new altar because I defiled mine. The way I've been living, the things I've been watching, the things I've been doing, my altar is defiled. So I'm going to tear it down just like they did in the days of Hanukkah. I'm going to rebuild a new altar right now tonight in my heart, and I'm going to ask your forgiveness. Again, the sacrifice was so you'd be forgiven. Now we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me. And now we build a new altar in our heart that we can begin to worship God afresh and anew. That's the first thing that has to take place. When they were done with that, the second thing that the Maccabees did, they went into the holy place, which is here, which not there, but was there. The holy place. And they cleansed it and made it ready to be worshipped and to be honoring God. And get this, when you went into the holy place, first of all, you had to be holy. So when you built the altar, you were reestablishing holiness in your life before God. When you went in there, the bread was on the right. What does the bread represent today? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life and I'm the word of God. The bread is the word. So as we rebuild altars unto the Lord, and we get ready to be holy unto God for 2025 and to walk in holiness, the first thing is we need to be eating the showbread. We need to be eating the bread of life, the word of God, reading it, spending time in God's word. That is going to be the first step to getting holy again. If you're not doing that, you need to be getting in the word of God. The next thing was the altar of incense, where the incense went up and the prayers were going up to God. We need to get back into praying. Are we praying? We need to start setting aside time to pray and say, God, I want to start, let the incense rise to heaven. Let it fill your throne room with me saying, Lord, hear my voice. Praise you, Lord, this morning. I just want to give you glory. And so we have our time at the altar of worship. Now we have time in the Word of God. Now we have time in prayers. The prayers go up to heaven. And then lastly, you have the menorah, and it's the light of God shining on it. We're walking in the light of Christ. That's what 2025 can be. You hear about these, you know, everybody makes, I'm going to do this year. Here's my resolution. Well, this is one that God can help you do by His Spirit. Most resolutions don't last. The gym fills up for January and February, and then you're back to normal. For those of you that work out all year long, you've got to put up with all the January and February people. It's kind of frustrating because you know they're not coming back. But anyway, I'm not bitter. But this is a resolution where the Holy Spirit now can fill you, and you can now reestablish your altar with God of worship and praise and sacrifice. You can now say, God, make me holy again. I've not been living holy. I've been living very unholy. Please forgive me. I want to start eating the showbread again. I want to eat the bread of life. I want to read your word. I want to spend time before the altar of incense. I want my prayers to rise up before heaven and to be a sweet aroma up there, you know, in your kingdom. I want to walk in the light of Christ as the menorah shines the light on me, Lord. I want to walk with you. What a great time to do that as we literally finish this 8th day of Hanukkah and rededicate to the Lord. So what I want to do is finish right now and pray. Ask for God to help us to do that. And then we're going to have a moment of just kind of contemplative, moment in just worship, getting our hearts right with the Lord before we take communion, and then we'll take communion together. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for tonight and for a chance just to be reminded about things we're going to be watching for in the coming year, Lord, because of what you've told us in your word, and to be reminded that you're in control and that we don't need to be afraid. We need to be encouraged because you're in control and you're on the throne. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And I want to pray right now, God, first of all, for those of us in this room that know you, and we look at our altar and we say, our altar is defiled. We've been living in ways that we know are wrong. Some blatant sin, maybe some sin that we let creep in that wasn't as blatant, but it's still sin. Whatever the case might be, God, I pray that tonight we just destroy that, push it out of the way. Say, we're done with that altar. We build a new altar right now in our heart, Lord. We rededicate, we Hanukkah, and rededicate this new altar in our heart to you. Lord, we're going to begin to worship again. We're going to begin to praise again. We're going to begin to seek your face again and to give you all the glory. You are the sacrifice. We're just going to bring the praise. And Lord, I ask that you would cleanse us. I ask you to cleanse me. You can pray that prayer even now. Lord, cleanse me as I build this altar. Let me be clean before you. Father, I pray then as we enter into the holy place that we would now be holy. We'd be cleansed by the blood. We turn away from what we know is wrong and sinful, and we would walk holy, stepping into the place, Lord, we now can take the bread of life and feast on it, reading your word every morning in the beautiful light of the Lord shining on us. And then, Lord, going to that place, that altar of incense, and, Lord, pouring out our heart in prayer as this plume of praise rises up to the throne in heaven, and it's a sweet aroma to you to hear the voice of your children and the prayers of the saints filling the heavens. And Lord, then just to walk in the light of your menorah, the light of the world, as we now have this refreshing from you, Lord, in your word and in prayer and in worship. God, we know that we can't do this on our own. I ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Come upon us, fill us with your Spirit now for those of us that need to rebuild these altars and get back in the word and back in prayer. And Lord, refocus back where we need to be, to Hanukkah, to rededicate. On this last day of Hanukkah, Lord, we just do it with the Jews. They don't even know what they're doing, but we do. And so, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit and let us now walk in purity, worship in purity, and walk in holiness. And I pray now, God, that as we get ready for communion, that we would get clean before you. And, Lord, that we would have that holiness that can bring you honor because of the sacrifice that you did for us on the cross. Lord, thank you for the work of your Spirit. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.